The FBI has said that Georgia is one of the top, if not the number one state that leads sex trafficking. And so, I mean, I believe if you want to bring the hammer down, you see with Epstein files and all that, I mean, it's loud. Everyone's talking about it. But if we hate it so much, look what's going on in Georgia.
Welcome to Lawmakers Spotlight. I'm Donna Lowry. Here you will find in-depth interviews with Georgia lawmakers and leaders on the issues driving the legislative session. These conversations go beyond the headlines to explore how decisions are made and what they mean for you and your community. Georgia is a national leader in anti-human trafficking legislation, having passed major legislation to battle the problem, which occurs all over the state. Our guests are Republican Representative David Clark of Beaufort. He is Vice Chair of Defense and Veterans Affairs. He's also on Education and Health. Also here is Representative Johnny Chastain of Blue Ridge. His committees include Banks and Banking, Rural Development, and Small Business Development. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
So as we get started, I want to show some statistics on human trafficking. The average age, sadly, of victims is 12 to 14 years old. More than 91% of the children identified as victims of, quote, domestic minor sex trafficking were officially enrolled in school while the abuse was occurring. In 2024, the National Human Trafficking Hotline received 876 distinct reports, tips, and calls regarding potential trafficking in Georgia. And since the hotline began, they've had more than 3,600 confirmed cases of human trafficking that has been they've been identified in the state. So you want to put the death penalty on the table for anybody involved with human trafficking who's convicted, right?
Yes, I do, Donna.
Talk about that. Where did that idea come back from?
Yeah, so a few things. I mean, one, the FBI has said that Georgia is one of the top, if not the number one state that leads sex trafficking. And then also what you talked about, the average age is 12 to 14 years old girl, you know, being sex trafficked. And then also a crazy number, 7,200 men purchase sex every month from minors right here in Georgia. And I have a little girl who's 7 years old, and just thinking, if that was my little girl, what would I do? And I mean, I think it's the most heinous crime ever, you know, because just sex trafficking, taking a human, it's slavery, and you're also putting them through just this unbelievable trauma and forcing them into sex trafficking.
And the fact that they were still in school during this, it's hard to imagine. So we'll talk a little bit more about your bill in a moment. I want to get to you, Representative Chastain. While Representative Clark wants the death penalty, you want to expand the judicial system's reach when it comes to human trafficking.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Yes, and thank you for letting us be here tonight. And all the folks that have been working on human trafficking before me, from the First Lady down, has done so much work on this subject with human trafficking. But I was able to share a little bit this summer with my sheriff, Dane Kirby. We attended a GBI meeting this summer and learned from two of the special agents there in charge about a little bit about pimping. And if you read the code section, the Georgia code on pimping, it was really troubling when you read the definition of what that really means. And I learned through talking with these two special agents in charge that pimping is a misdemeanor in Georgia for the first offense. And we started talking about that and some of the cases they actually had now that they were involved with would have been misdemeanors if they were charged with pimping. But in further investigation, a lot of the folks that they are actually casing had previous convictions of sex trafficking and human trafficking. So HB 1075 closes a loophole for our law enforcement and for GBI folks that if they charge someone with pimping that has a prior conviction, already been down that road and back, and they have a prior conviction of human trafficking or sex trafficking, then that would be a felony on the first offense.
So the first time may have been a misdemeanor, but you're saying the second time would be much harsher.
Yes.
Or are we talking the first time also under your bill?
This bill will make a first offense a felony if they have a prior conviction of human trafficking. So it changes the law a little bit, and that's the loophole because the folks that are convicted of human trafficking have been sent off in their back and basically calling themselves a pimp because they know it's a misdemeanor.
Wow.
So that's the loophole. This bill will change that to a felony if they've already been previously convicted.
Yeah. So let's talk about your bill. What exactly would it do? Would it involve the people who are already in jail or in prison?
It would be those who have been caught in sex trafficking, that the option on the table with the jury could be the death penalty. And I believe you know, the question I get asked as well, the Supreme Court weighed in saying, you know, the punishment needs to equal the crime, right? But, I mean, I say it is death to the soul. When you go look at what's going on with these victims, you know, it's 75% of these minors are contemplating suicide after being sex trafficked, and then 57% attempt suicide at least once. And I believe also if you put the death penalty, you know, there and the jury can, you know, charge them with the death penalty, I believe also even if you don't even give the death penalty, it gives leverage to the prosecutors because a lot of times this is organized crime, very high levels. And so you can do the leverage so they cooperate and expose others who are part of that organized crime. And so, I mean, I believe if you want to bring the hammer down, you see with Epstein files and all that, I mean, it's loud. Everyone's talking about it. Well, if we hate it so much, look what's going on in Georgia. We can talk about it right here. And me being elected, you know, I have a voice and to move legislation like this. So I'm very passionate about it.
Georgia's still really high when it comes to the executions for the death penalty. But we haven't seen as the same amount of people who are actually, where the juries are actually giving out the death penalty. Does that concern you?
It does. And again, it's up to them to decide with the jury. Okay. But I think the biggest is also is the leverage. We need more leverage. And when they see the death penalty is an option, you use that leverage for them to cooperate and then start naming others who are part of it.
Yeah. I would think you agreed with this bill, too.
100%. Yeah, with what we've seen already in Georgia, I think it's a great bill, and it'll do what the bill's supposed to do, yes.
And probably vice versa on his bill, too.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. I think there would be a lot of support on both ends on all of this. So, Representative Clark, we'll keep up with those bills, but we also want to talk about another bill, the HB 1226, Justification for Use of Force in Defense of Self or Others. What's that bill all about?
Yeah, so it strengthens the Stand Your Ground law. But what it does is we see these, you can call it rogue activists, prosecutors who sometimes just want to bring charges on somebody. And what it does is it allows that person getting charged to have a real pretrial immunity hearing before it goes to like a grand jury. Because once you go through a grand jury and go through that whole trial, people are losing who are found innocent, losing their homes, their jobs, everything. So what it does is it allows them to say, hey, I want a pretrial immunity hearing. They go before a judge and the judge asks the prosecutor, hey, you know, it looks at the evidence and the evidence is there, then go to a grand jury. And if the evidence is not there, the judge can weigh and say, no, this was total self-defense. It's black and white. And so that person not having to go through just because some rogue prosecutor just wants to go bring the hammer down on somebody. So it just puts the burden back on the government where it should be all along.
Okay, we'll keep up with that bill. I want to talk about, you have a fire safety bill, 1080, HB 1080. What's that?
HB 1086 passed through the House last week without a no vote. So it was a unanimous vote on the bill. We had a retired battalion chief 30 years in Florida that retired in my community in Blue Ridge. His name is Lee Hollins. And Lee brought this bill to me back in the fall. And it's a fire safety bill. It's a fairly simple bill, but it will save lives for firefighters in Georgia. It requires, if you own a commercial building that's built out of the what we call the light gauge trusses or light gauge steel, and we know in a fire that those trusses will fail quicker than a regular solid truss. They're great trusses. They're engineered. They're structurally sound. But under fire, those trusses will fail and fall in either in the roof or the floor quicker than a normal truss. So this bill basically just passed in Florida a while back. But it just has, you would place an 8-inch Maltese cross emblem somewhere where the fire marshal designates, probably by the electrical box or maybe by the front lock box, that would let a fireman know if that building's on fire that building's constructed out of these ladder gauge trusses and to be aware because it could fall in on them quicker than a normal building.
Wow. Yeah, so you would think that's one of those bills that we would have known about. I mean, the fact that these trusses exist like that way.
So. Yes. Yes. Right. HB 1086.
Okay. We'll keep up with that. I had 1080 because the six looked like a zero the way I wrote it.
Okay.
I do want to get to something else with you. You have a bill you introduced to rename Sawney Mountain?
Sawney Mountain.
Yeah, to Trump Mountain. Talk about that.
I did. I dropped it. So my wife, there was a all-women's town hall in Forsyth. She went to it, a bunch of other ladies. And it was one of the most watched town halls where he gave voices to be heard, to hear the issues. Also, he put Susie Wiles, first ever chief of staff in the White House. You know, so lifting women up, and it had a huge impact on my wife and a bunch of other women. So I thought, you know, to honor, you know, what he has done to lift women up. And my wife had a blast there, and it was right next to Sarnie Mountain. To name it after President Trump. And as a Green Beret and combat vet, what he's done on national security and foreign policy is unbelievable, how he's leading on the world stage. It would, you know, recognize all that he's done.
I didn't know whether he had a particular connection to the mountain, but your wife's event was a thing for you. How's it doing? How's that bill doing?
I dropped it. You know, we still have plenty of time to go in session. But then also have a lot of other bills I'm very passionate about.
Okay. You guys both have good bills. So Thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
That wraps up this episode of Lawmaker Spotlight. These conversations are part of the reporting you see on Lawmakers, our nightly show on GPB TV, covering the Georgia General Assembly. You can watch us weeknights for updates, interviews, and analysis from under the Gold Dome. I'm Donna Lowry. Thanks for being here.